Now, folks, you just had some refreshment downstairs, and you can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be present. And I enjoy it. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the worship meeting this morning. As we presented to the Lord our gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And one day we're going to see Him face to face. Isn't that nice? Something to look forward to as we consider all the cares, the concerns, the problems of this life. One day we're going to see the Lord, be with Him for all eternity. No more wars. No more Saddam Hussein or any of those other people. Isn't that nice? Isn't that something to look forward to? I enjoyed your singing. Oh, I see the two instrumentalists have gone. The last time I was here, I told them how much I enjoyed their playing. The keyboard is one of my favorite instruments, and I enjoyed listening to them. Now, this time, I go one step higher. I enjoyed our sister's solo. Thank you. A short while ago, when I was in Sunday school, we used to sing that hymn. Beautiful Words of Jesus. Thanks very much. Lovely. Now, for our subject, it's found in the scripture that the text was read from. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I'm going to ask you to make one little change. I know we're not supposed to alter the Word of God. I'm not altering it. I'm giving it more correct in the, as it is found in the original language. Now, I'm going to read it this way and see if you don't get the drift of it. His name shall be called. Now, don't put a comma after wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Doesn't that sound good? There's a certain rhythm to it. And our subject is Wonderful Counselor. Now, there are many counselors in the world today. There are prenatal counselors. They advise what's to be done for the child before the child appears. Preschool counselors. School counselors. Marital counselors. Premarital counselors. Divorce counselors. Family counselors. Financial and economic counselors. Spiritual counselors. Government counselors. All kinds of counselors. And yet, when we look around in the world, you wonder, where are these counselors? In this great nation, there are some people who have no homes. Where are the counselors? Then there are people who are hungry. Where are the counselors? Wars and rumors of wars. Now, we are taken up with the war out there in the Persian Gulf. That's only one. There are, at this time, in this world, more than 45 wars going on. Where are the counselors? Where are all these people that know so much, with all these fancy degrees? Why don't they do something about this situation? The economy. What do they call it now? There's a word that the president uses. They didn't want to talk about it very much. But now they are using that word, the R word, recession. Where are the counselors? All these people that know so much, where are they? Violence and corruption. Where are these people that know so much about the human mind, and they take you back when you were in your mother's womb and show you why you are what you are today? Where are these people? Why is there so much violence, corruption, and perhaps most serious of all, the anti-Christian attitude of the majority of people in the world today and in the United States? Where are the counselors? They don't seem to be doing a very good job But this morning we want to talk about a wonderful counselor. And if he isn't your counselor, make him yours today. He'll give you some wonderful counsel. Now, a few things about this counselor before we talk about what he advises. Notice, please, in verse 6, it says, a child is born. A son is given. God gave his son, and the child was born. Therefore, the son existed before the child. Now, that's you find a number of those nice little things in the Bible. And you say to yourself, it doesn't make sense. You're not supposed to understand that. God said it. And all we do is believe. But he was a son before he was a child. Question. When did he become a son? When did he become God's son? And the word of God tells us that he is and was everlasting. He always was. The Father always was. He had no beginning and no end. There's a little expression again in your Bibles. It says the everlasting Father. Now, those of you that have the Darby translation, and as I went through your library, I saw a number of volumes by Darby. You know how Darby translates that? Not the everlasting Father. The Father of everlasting. The Father of eternity. Now, figure that out. When did eternity start? Had no start. Well, he is the Father of eternity. Can you figure that out? This is a wonderful person. A wonderful person, the Father of eternity, without beginning and without end. But God, his Father, is also eternal. Therefore, we have something that we don't understand, where the Father and the Son are the same age. And some of you look puzzled, but that's what it works out to. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, neither had a beginning. Well, then they're both the same age. Isn't that nice? Isn't that interesting? Doesn't that sort of perk up your imagination? Father and son, the same age. He is as old as his father. I'm sorry the children aren't here. I'd like them to hear that. He is as old as his father. You know anybody else like that? But he's older than his mother. That's right. He was son. She gave birth to a child. He was son from past eternity, and so he's older than his mother. You know anybody else like that? Fascinating person, isn't he? Fascinating. Oh, beloved, I think you will find, and I was thrilled as our brother ministered the word this morning on the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It sort of fills you. There's nothing on earth that can do it. And may I suggest to you, if you want real thrills, don't go to TV, don't go to the radio, and don't go to those bookshops. Take this book and open it, and you'll be thrilled. Therefore, he knew as much as his father, because they were both God. His father, therefore, never had to discipline him, because he was God and he was perfect. Isn't that an interesting arrangement? Who is this person? He is the one that we are presenting this morning as counselor, divine counselor, wonderful counselor, this one without beginning or ending, this one who is as old as his father, this one who is older than his mother, wonderful counselor. Now, the first bit of counsel that he gave when he came down here, one day, and you know this well, you read it in John chapter 3, a certain man, a very learned man, brilliant man, came to him by night and said, Master, we know that you are a great teacher come from God. And you know, that used to interest me as a boy, because ordinarily if you compliment a person, the person is supposed to say thank you. But the Lord didn't say thank you. Does it mean he didn't have any manners? Why, sure he had manners. We know that thou art a great teacher come from God. No man could do what you do except God be with him. Why, if somebody had told you something like that, you'd say thanks very much. The Lord didn't say thanks. He said you need to be born again. That's my counsel to you. And that's the first bit of counsel that he gave on earth. The need to be born again. Well, Nicodemus was a brilliant man, and he looked at him and said, now, how is this going to work out? You mean to tell me that I've got to go back into my mother's womb and be born once more? And the Lord said, well, now, if you do that, you come out the second time the way you came out the first time. So that's no problem. That's no good. You have to be born from above. A new type of life. A new level of life. You need to be born from a new source. And friend, if you are here and you haven't been born from a new source, that's the first counsel that you need to follow. To be born from a new source. A heavenly source. Well, Nicodemus was puzzled. He said, how are you going to do this thing? How does this thing happen? How is one to be born from a new source? And then the Lord Jesus Christ referred him to something that happened way back in the history of Israel. When serpents, for God's own purpose and reason, bit many of the people, they complained. Many of the serpents bit many people, and many people died. Now, brethren, what did the Lord say to Moses? Did he say, take a serpent or make a serpent? It makes a lot of difference. And too often we have to be careful, brethren, when we take the platform, that we quote exactly what the scripture says. Now the Lord didn't say, take a serpent. They were all around there. He said, make one. A representation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The man from above. Someone new. A new source. And then he said, tell the folks to look at that serpent. And all who look will be healed. Now you must look up the word look. It doesn't mean glance. Look intently in the hope that you will be better. You know how it is when you go to the doctor? You always go hoping that he can tell you something that will help you to get better. Well, that's the way they were to look. Not just look and say, oh, I saw the serpent. Look with confidence that they would be healed. And beloved, if you are going to be born into the family of God, that is the way that you must look. Look intently and believingly at the Lord Jesus Christ, who was on the cross of Calvary, who bore your sins and my sins in his own body on that tree. You say, I don't understand it. God didn't ask you to understand it. Do you know that there are a lot of things that you believe and do and you don't understand? Those lights up there. You understand electricity? Why, the greatest scientists can't tell you what it is. But you don't go to your room door and say, I won't turn on the electricity until I understand it. A whole lot of things you don't understand. There is a famous one that Billy Graham likes to quote, and I like that one, and I'm quoting from him. How do you explain the fact that a black cow eats green grass and produces white milk? Now, until you can explain that, don't put coffee or anything else, milk in your coffee. Those of you that say you have to understand everything, don't drink milk until you can explain how a black cow eats green grass and produces white milk. That's a challenge. There are a lot of things we don't understand. We just accept them and take them. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in him. You accept him. You let yourself go and relax in him, and you will be born from above. Born of a new life. Brother gave us a beautiful testimony here. I won't call his name. Last night, how when he was saved, the Lord took away the desire for alcohol, drugs, and all of these other things. He no longer enjoyed the company of unbelievers. He'll do that for you. But he's only going to save you under his condition and for his reasons. Some years ago, I was in Trinidad. And I was asked to speak to a young man. The brother said to me, he's having some problems. So I spoke to the young man and I said, now, what is the nature of your problem? He said, well, a few weeks ago, I asked the Lord to save me. But I can't give up smoking. When my brother was saved a few weeks before that, he came home, took his cigarettes, threw them out, and hasn't smoked since. But that hasn't happened to me. Why? You want to know why? I said, now look, when you asked the Lord to save you, what did you ask him to save you from? Oh, well, I didn't want to smoke. So he asked the Lord to save him from smoking. The Lord never promised him that, did he? He promised to save you from smoking. He promised to save you. And if you let him save you, then he'll take care of all the rest. Believing in him. Now, I came in a little late. But I looked through the audience at some of you as you came in to see what you did just before taking your seat. I noticed that everyone that came in just sat. No one tested out the seat to see if it would hold you up. Now, if I'm wrong, you raise your hand. Did anybody here test the seat to see if it would hold you up? I see no hands, so I'm right. You just sat down believing that the seat would hold you up. Well, that's what you do when you take Jesus Christ as Savior. You just give up and give to him. Let him take care of it. That's all. That's how you get salvation. Simply give up to Jesus. I believe in you. I take you as my Savior. And let go. And you'll be saved. You'll be born into the kingdom of God. And that's the only way. Church membership won't give you new life. Won't put you in the family of God. Baptism will not put you in the family of God. We had a brother back in New York. He's now with the Lord. Our brother and sister Lloyd and Dee know him. Brother Mack, we used to call him. His name was McLaughlin. And oftentimes he would say, when you go into the waters of baptism and you're not saved, you go in a dry sinner and come out a wet sinner. That's all. That's all. Baptism will not save you. Taking the Lord's Supper won't save you. Confirmation won't save you. Giving to the good cause won't save you. Obeying the golden rule will not save you. Doing the best you can will not save you. Praying, you mean if I pray, I won't be saved? No. Praying doesn't save anybody. You've got to believe and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, now you say, now that's very narrow. That's the only way I can be saved? Yeah, that's right. You say, but you all are so narrow. You Christians, you're so small. Your thinking is so held in. It's so confined. Why don't you become broad in your thinking and let everybody come his own way? Now let me ask you a question. How much is one plus one? Two, sure. Not six. Not three. Not minus four. You mean one and one? Anything else is outside of two is wrong? Well, that's very narrow. That's exceedingly narrow. All truth is narrow. And Jesus Christ is the only way you're going to be born into the kingdom. And that's his first recommendation. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord had some advice about some other things that we see going on today. You will find that there are those who tell you that God wants all of his people to have things. 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 Get all the things you get. The Lord never preached that. He said, the life is more than food and raiment. Now, he didn't say you shouldn't have food and raiment. And he didn't say you shouldn't have a fine home. And he didn't say you shouldn't have two cars if necessary. That's not what he said. But he said, above and beyond these things, there are spiritual values. Those are the things to aim after. Not prosperity down here. Why, you remember Peter? As he went up to the hour of prayer with John, and they saw this poor man begging. What did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none. He didn't have any money. But I tell you, I wish that we had what he had. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Oh, I wish I could do that. That would be real nice. So it's not things, it's the spiritual end that the Lord says is important. Life is more than things. Life is more than food. Life is more than rain. Then the Lord had something to say about some other things. Peace. In me, the Lord said, you will have peace. And the world wants peace. Wouldn't we like that war to be over tomorrow, that war? We want peace. Well, if you want real peace, you've got to get it from Jesus Christ. He gives you peace within. So that in the midst of all the cares around, you still have peace. There was an art contest in New York City. I think it was New York City. And they were going to give just one prize to the artist who could draw a picture of peace. Calm, tranquility. Artist number one, beautiful, mural. Cows lying down under the trees, chewing their cud. You've seen that. It's a beautiful picture. Quiet and peace. They are well fed. They're under the trees and they're relaxing. That was his concept of peace, which is pretty good. Then another one drew a picture of a mountain lake. There was the mountain in the background and the lake in front, and there the mountain was reflected in the water of the lake. Now if you've ever seen it, it's beautiful. I remember years ago we were out in Colorado, went up to the mountains there, and came to a mountain lake. We had our two children there, they were about 6 and 7, something like that. And there was this mountain, this lake was quiet, and the mountain was perfectly reflected in the lake. So nice. One of my children said to me, Daddy, can I put my foot in the water? It was so nice, it's soothing. What a peaceful sight. That did not win the prize. Do you know which picture won the prize? Well, this was a picture of a storm. Lightning flashing. And you could almost hear the thunder as you looked at that picture. And the judges said, well, where's the peace in this? Until they looked closely in the crevice of a mountain. A mother bird and her little ones hovered under her wings. Confusion and turmoil on the outside, but under and in that rock, she had peace. That's what the Lord gives. And that's what this world needs. Peace within. Then you'll have peace without. That's what the folks on the other side really need. Peace within. And then you know something else that I look forward to very much. When the Lord returns, he's first going to come and take us away. All of his people are going away. We're not going to be here all the time. Then you know something? He is coming back with us. And when he comes back, I'm going to be there. And he is going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. And you're going to have a fine world. You will not have anybody taking the first, fifth, or any other amendment. You see, he'll be judging. He knows he's God. He won't need a smart lawyer. He's God. He will know. And this earth is going to be ruled perfectly. But you know what I like best about his rule? There'll be no deserts. Lush vegetation all over. No Sahara desert. And he will have the animals under control. We were talking the other night about snakes. Not down here, in the area where we were. Snakes. Some of the folks didn't like the idea that snakes were around. Do you know what's going to happen when the Lord reigns? Why, you're going to say to your little child, 2 or 3 years old, now, Johnny, you may go out and play, but don't hurt the snakes. Yes, isn't it? Yes. The child is going to play with the snake. And the mother will say, now, don't be too rough. You might hurt him. Yes. When my Lord reigns, you talk about peace. The lion will lie down with the lamb, and he's not going to eat him either. Isn't that something? Isn't that something to look forward to? But that's only the beginning. Because after that, we will go into eternity. Eternity with the Lord. Heaven. No more tears. No more heartaches. No sickness. You won't need me there. No pain and no death. Well, this is something to look forward to. But you will not enjoy that, friend, unless you are born into the family right here and now. No germs, no fevers, no epidemics, no divorces. The doors will have no locks and the windows will have no bars. Can you do that now? Well, you may not believe this. New York City. That wicked city. That's where I was born and raised. And as a youngster, my parents never locked the door until the last person, who was usually my father, came in at night. The door was open day and night. Don't do that now if you go to New York. But in heaven, you won't need any lights, any locks. We're not even going to have the sun. You know, sun, we won't need any sun. The Lord will be the light of the place. Heaven. How about taxes, folks? I heard some of the folks complaining about the rising in taxes. There'll be none up there. And you won't pay any rent up there. And you'll have a beautiful home. No hospital. No asylum. That's heaven. But you will not share it unless you are born by faith, by trusting Jesus Christ into his divine family. But you know, we must present the alternative. Again, when you go to the doctor and he says, now I think so-and-so and so-and-so is your trouble. And you should do so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Especially if he says operation. People don't like operation. And that's bad. Well, doctor, suppose I don't have the operation. What then? Suppose you don't take Jesus Christ as Savior. What then? And I'm going to call the word hell and the lake of fire. Hell is a place of imprisonment. I forget where I was speaking recently, and this point came up. But anyhow, where I live, up in Maryland, there are some insects called roaches. You don't have them down here. No, good. They're terrible pests. They get in the house, and they're very annoying. And they advertise a little trap-like thing called the Roach Motel. They go in, but they don't get out. That's like hell. You will not get out, friend. My advice to you is don't get there. Don't let the Lord put you there. It's a place of no rest. Place of darkness. And I constantly tell the folks, I like daylight and daylight saving time. I do not like darkness. I like daylight saving time. I like those long days when you have daylight up to 9:15 p.m. But I don't care for those days where daylight ends at 4:15 p.m. Hell is a place of darkness. And the fire is not quenched. Now, do you know who the greatest authority on hell is? Who had more to say about hell than anybody else? The same counselor that we are talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said more about hell than any other character in the Bible, and he should know. It's a real place. Now, some of you want to know where it is. That's not hard. You ask the geologist what happens as you go down in the middle of the earth. He'll tell you. This will be your doom. Now, I might have told you this before, but I see some youngsters here. I want to tell you this again. Hell is going to burn with fire and brimstone. Now, I had a professor of chemistry. Brilliant man. Smart man. You know those short fellows with the big head? That's the kind he was. Smart. Oh, he was brilliant. Professor Harrow. And one day he was lecturing, 1 week, he lectured on the vitamins. Gave us all the information then that was known. We know much more today. So on Friday morning, as he was leaving, giving the final lecture, and about to leave, one student raised his hand and said, Professor, are there any references that you can give us and that would give us some further information on the subject? And Professor Harrow, and it was true now, said, my dear young man, I am the world's single greatest authority on the subject. Now, he wasn't proud. He was. I have told you all I know. And he walked out. Well, my. Quite a fellow to have you as a teacher. Well, one day, Professor Harrow was lecturing on something else, and he picked up a piece of material and said, gentlemen, there were no ladies then. It wasn't co-ed. All male in male school and female in female school. So he said, gentlemen, this is brimstone. Now, I'm going to put this brimstone in the fire. We'll leave it there, and we'll talk about something else, and we'll come back to the brimstone. And so he spoke on something else, and after about 45 minutes, he came back, took his tongs, and lifted out the brimstone. So you see, gentlemen, said Professor Harrow, brimstone does not burn. Now what do? You run home and say, Mom and Pop, Professor showed that brimstone doesn't burn. The Bible says that brimstone and that hell will burn with fire and brimstone. And he showed that brimstone doesn't burn. Therefore, the Bible is wrong. Don't do that, don't you? You know who was wrong? Professor Harrow was wrong. But he just showed that brimstone doesn't burn. 2 weeks later, I listened to another professor. Nice to listen to these folks. You learn a lot from them. And he was talking about heat. Do you know what he said? Gentlemen, you can make anything burn if you make the heat hot enough. Why didn't the brimstone burn for Professor Harrow? The heat wasn't enough. It's going to be hot in hell. It's going to be a terrible place. Don't go there. My time is about up, and I'm going to stop. The penalty for refusing will be eternal hell. Now you say to me, would God send a human being to hell? Of course. Where else do you expect him to send? The story is told of a mother had a child, and you know how it happens with some children. They're mentally backward, you know, and so forth. We've all experienced that. In one way or another, children with some mental deficiency. And this child grew. He was about 14 or 15 years old. And one day, as the father came home, he heard a strange sound. And he went to the source of this sound, and there was this boy choking his mother to death. They took the boy for counsel and for medical advice, and they said, this boy will have to be put away from home. The mother said, oh, no, I don't want him put away. I want him in my house. I love him. And she wouldn't let him go away. The same thing happened on two other occasions. The same boy choking his mother. Finally, the father said, mother, this is not good. I have come in just in time three times to save you. I don't know what will happen the next time. You must make up your mind to let this child go to the hospital where they'll take care of him. The mother said, yes, I guess I'll have to. And she agreed to having this child put away. Tell me this. When she agreed to have him put away, did she stop loving him? Anybody? Did she stop loving him? Of course not. Right. And when God sends the sinner to hell, it isn't because he doesn't love him. Where else is he going to put you? You wouldn't be happy in heaven. We sing these songs that you heard today. And there are a number of people on the ice that they don't like our music. It doesn't have a beat, and it doesn't have a rhythm, and it doesn't have this, and it doesn't have the other. You wouldn't be happy in heaven if you could get that. So that when God sends the person to the eternal burnings, it isn't because he doesn't love. Take Jesus Christ as Savior. Someone has said, what do you miss by being a Christian? You miss hell. You miss the lake of fire. And if you are here, friend, take Jesus Christ as Savior. Accept him now. This was his first counsel. He, the wonderful counselor, advises you to be born into the family of God. I pray that it will be so. If you are here and you have not taken Jesus Christ as Savior, just do it. Just surrender to him, that's all. No fanfare. And if you are here, and I believe the majority, and Jesus Christ is your Savior, beloved, enjoy your salvation. There are too many Christians that aren't enjoying eternal life. You've got eternal life. Divine life. Enjoy it. Shall we pray? Again, Holy Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. We thank thee for who thou art, the only true God, and we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. We thank thee that he came into this world, born into this world, suffered for our sins, and now has ascended into heaven. Oh, we pray thou knowest the hearts, the minds, and the condition of everyone here. Should there be any who know not Jesus Christ as Savior, who have not been born into the family of God, may they, even this day, bow to him as Savior and Lord. And may those of us who know him as Savior and Lord enjoy the peace and the eternal life that he gave. We would not be unmindful of those whom we've been praying for in the war zone, the Persian Gulf. We pray for our fellow men, for our young men and our young women. We pray, too, for Haddam Hussein, that he may come to his senses and take Jesus Christ as Savior. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Dr. Glenn. Why don't we turn to number 214 in closing? Number 214, sing all three verses, wonderful words of life.